This is a program.
No, that's why you wear
a red shirt. Unfortunately, you have some federal funds to work on. But these folks are, most of these folks are volunteers. Their job in life is to try to prevent drug abuse by our children and smoking cessation and other programs such as that. Are you all afraid of me?
I'm not.
So, whereas the Milwaukee County Substance Abuse Prevention Coalition has worked with and partnered with organizations throughout Milwaukee County to put a spotlight on the dangers of substance abuse, and whereas one of the community groups partnering in this event is Coalition Franklin, used to be known as FAPSU. Whereas all of these community groups throughout Milwaukee County have chosen the weeks of January 22nd through the 28th, 2018, to shine light upon the dangers of substance abuse and highlight the efforts to prevent substance abuse, and are calling that week, I was getting this is Light and Unite Red. Whereas the number of drug overdose deaths in Milwaukee County is increasing from 343 drug-related deaths in 2016 to 354 as of December 7, 2017, calendar 2017. Whereas community support and neighborhood attachments serve as a protective factor against substance misuse, and whereas local leaders in government, schools, businesses, and the citizens of the community know that support of people in our neighborhood is an effective tool to reduce the misuse of alcohol and other drugs. And whereas businesses and citizens are urged to decorate and emphasize the color red as a way of symbolizing our efforts to prevention of substance abuse, the city of Franklin will be illuminating an evergreen tree in front of City Hall, red, it's already red, soon to be lit, and high school youth are planning daily prevention activities amongst the student body during Light and Unite Red Week. We're in the right direction, wrong. Whereas successes will not occur overnight, and continued commitment to drug and alcohol education and prevention are imperative, I now therefore be proclaimed that I, Stephen R. Olson, Mayor of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, on behalf of the citizens of Franklin and the Franklin Common Council and Franklin staff, do hereby declare the week of January 22nd through the 28th to be Light and Unite Red Week in the City of Franklin, and ask all brothers, citizens, and businesses to join me in recognizing that week. This day. Serious and something that needs to be attended to on a community-wide basis. I'm proud to say that Franklin and Volition was one of the initial groups that's being used as a model for other communities in Milwaukee County. And they're one of the principal organizations working countywide on the opiate abuse problem. And they attend meetings with the rest of the communities. I also want to point out Judge Fred Clements. Fred's been with this group since the start, and appreciate his leadership.
Just one real quick, and then I want to say, you know me, when they give me a chance to talk, take advantage of it. 2017 was the first year that the number of deaths from opiate overdoses exceeded that of traffic accidents and cancer combined. Now, when I was a kid growing up, we all thought that auto accidents would never, we never had anything that would kill people more than auto accidents. Well, the opiate overdoses in 2017 exceeded those two numbers put together. So that shows you how bad this problem is. It's devastating. Many people in this room probably have somebody, a relative, a friend, maybe a distant relative even, but somebody has been impacted by use of opiates and has had their life, somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's mother, somebody's son, their lives have been ruined by opiates, and we've started trying to do something about it because it's really gotten out of hand.
You know, we talk a lot about this. Some people believe this is an inner city problem. Absolutely is not. A lot of parents in this room, you know, you go out for a little surgery, a little knee problem, or some other surgery, the back automatically writes you a script for some narcotics, you get a big bottle full, you take two or three, put it on the shelf. Guess where your kids get their first start of drugs? Police department has a drop box for the lobby or narcotics. Please use it. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Mann.
If you can't tell, it's a little close to my heart. Okay, move on to item C1, approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of December 19th.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? More motion carries. Move on to item E1, mayoral appointments. Anna Domsky to the Fair Commission.
Mr. Mayor, is she present this evening?
She is not.
Okay, I had some questions for her. I would probably, I will abstain until I have a chance to ask those questions.
We can table it?
No, we don't have to table it. I'll just abstain.
Our motion approved?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Liberta?
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Abstain.
Alderman Dandria?
Aye.
Motion carries, 4 ayes, 1 no-nos, 1 absent, 1 abstention. Thank you very much. You need her number, Dan? I get you.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Move on to item G1, the consent agenda. Before we, any action for separate action? Alderman Nelson.
I was just going to ask that if we could take item G7 after G2. So we can move it out of order.
Oh, sure. But we're back on G1.
Right. I know, just a separate. I wanted to throw it out there before we went
you bet.
Into it.
I do want to note that there's several donations of a substantial amount of money. We'll talk about one of them later, but there's almost $6,000 in donations to the police department for canine purposes from 3 different people. Those kind of donations are tremendous. They give, frankly, they give this common council a little flexibility in our budgets every year, and it allows both the police and fire department to do some pretty amazing things, which we'll see in just a minute. I particularly want to point out Daniel and Sandra Hay for very generous donations. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. As some of you know, I am a huge proponent of expanding our medical service in the city, increasing the quality and the level of service. And I'm really pleased tonight that we're going to get a little demonstration and the Common Council will have an opportunity to purchase for you, the citizens, a device that will be incredibly important in saving a lot of lives. Chief.
So we just wanted to take this opportunity to demonstrate this device that we're asking you to approve. The reason is this is really a game changer for how we respond to and treat patients in sudden cardiac arrest. Studies continue to show that the most important single factor in long-term outcome, whether or not we can resuscitate a cardiac arrest patient and whether they eventually walk out of the hospital fairly intact, depends on the quality of compressions that we provide during CPR to keep the blood moving forward, to keep the heart and brain, what's the word I'm looking for? Perfused. Thank you.
Now, when you say cardiac arrest, the common vernacular is they're dead.
Cardiac arrest usually comes from...
That was yes or no, Adam.
Yeah. A disturbance in the electrical rhythm of the heart results in the patient being...
Dead.
This may not necessarily improve the number of patients that we resuscitate, because that's a question of whether or not we can...
So people can see it.
Reestablish a meaningful electrical conductivity in the heart. But what this does is perfuses those patients during this resuscitation attempt. These patients treated by this machine, if we do revive them and they regain their own spontaneous circulation, they come out of the hospital much more neurologically intact because their brain has been perfused this whole time. So that's really the benefit of this machine in particular. It may not mean that we have more resuscitations that are successful, but the ones that we do have, those patients will have much better neurological outcomes. So Patrick's going to start. We would arrive on scene and
Adam,
begin CPR.
Sure.
This board is placed under the back. This is what the machine kind of anchors to. It's easily put in place by one or two rescuers while the rest of the crew is working to resuscitate the patient. And you see the quality of CPR Patrick's doing. He's very good at it, but wait till we see what the machine does when we get it on. So very minimal interruption in CPR, and you can see that it's doing very high-quality compressions.
You want to come up and take a look, Dr. Srivanansky?
So we know you have a long meeting. If anybody has any questions, otherwise, we'll get out of your way. Yes, when you put it around the patient, you pull that plunger down, and it sets the level at the chest, and then it knows to do 2 inches further of compression, which is what the quality that we're looking for is.
So, here's my question. What if you have someone bigger than the machine? Do you have to do it manually?
Yes. It actually, if you think about...
What do you say?
About 95 to 96% of patients will actually fit in this machine. If you think about it, most larger people, more of the mass is down here. It really goes up closer under the armpits, so it does fit most patients.
I'm not standing on ceremony with a device such as this, as important as it is, so if anybody's got a question, feel free.
We are going to have this on our battalion chief's car, which responds on every cardiac arrest. That way it gets on every call we need it to be on, and it's not the cost of one for each of our rigs.
What is the cost?
I was just going to do that.
Just under $16,000.
$15,620, round numbers. We're fortunate of the contribution of the Hayes that reduced the price by $3,000. And one other little commercial. Chief and his staff have always and always look out for the better way to deliver service to you folks to increase positive outcomes. City of Franklin will be the third community to have one of these devices. City of Franklin also led in changing the paramedic rules of Milwaukee County such that you're now protected by 4 paramedic rigs, whereby in the past, the county has allowed us only 2. So thanks to Chief Hayes and Chief Remington, actually it's Chief Remington and Assistant Chief Hayes, for their continued diligence in providing you guys excellent medical care. Okay, in front of you, you have authorization to purchase this device.
So move.
Second.
Since we already opened it and used it.
That's a demo.
Right.
It's a demo unit.
All those in favor of the motion to approve the purchase signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Liberta, please mark that as unanimous. Okay, we have the request to move on to G7, resolution imposing and conditions and restrictions for an electrical contractor at Rawson and North Cape Road. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Chief. Chief and Battalion Chief.
I'm coming around. I'm going to take this off.
Alderman Nelson.
Yes, I had an opportunity to meet and speak with John. He's here in the audience today about his plans and efforts and commitments to changing what's pretty much been a rundown building, which at one point in time was the epicenter of the North Cape Road people, because I've lived there my entire life. Now, I just say I've stopped by. The amount of time and effort he's put into it has just been fantastic. I want to thank you, and I want to welcome you to the neighborhood, and I'm looking forward to some great things.
Is there a motion?
I just wanted to introduce myself.
Mr. Przinski?
Yeah, I'm John Przinski. That's 143 South 6756, S Corner Drive in Mosquito. Lifelong Mosquito resident.
Don't come on now. Don't push it.
But I am moving into your community, and I appreciate it and look forward to being a good neighbor and working with the council and the city.
And we welcome you. In a minute, we'll welcome you.
So move.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, John. Welcome to the community. Move back to item G3. This is the ordinance to change the plan development district. I'm gonna direct. There's a lot of material in your packet.
Only have to finish G1D first.
I did all of them.
That was the overdraft.
Mark. Yeah, it's in the consent agenda.
Oh, we did the blanket for a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I know we did the stuff.
Right, this was consent. Do you want to discuss it?
No.
Thank you. Okay, item G3, there's a lot of material here, and it has caused some confusion. I direct the Common Council's to turn to page 32. What 32 reflects is the Plan Commission recommendation and the motion that they passed. In it, it contains the markup language so that you know specifically what we're talking about and what we're not. Mr. Keedle, you want to?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll keep this really short, and if you have questions, you can interrupt whenever you want. As the mayor's indicated, this is one of three related items. This is just the PDD amendment. The PDD for Ballpark Commons has been approved back a year and a half ago. It was preliminary plans approved with a number of conditions. Most of those conditions still exist, still need to be addressed. The applicant has requested, and I should further note that most of those conditions are related to addressing those conditions prior to a building permit. The applicant is not asking for any building permits at this time. The Plan Commission is not proposing any building permit approvals at this time. The applicant will have to come back, and then as part of a future PDD amendment, they may have to address some of those outstanding conditions. But at this point in time, no building permits are being proposed or requested. The only thing that's being proposed at this point in time, as the mayor noted in the marked up track changes copy of the ordinance, is some additional permitted uses, some additional special uses, a changing of the building height, raising it by one floor and 10 feet in the sports complex portion of the project. So that would include the stadium, that would include the indoor-outdoor golf facility, it would include the indoor-outdoor baseball facility. It does not include the office building, does not include anything south of Rawson. So a building height change for just those few buildings. The Plan Commission is also proposing some additional conditions to that building height. One is that the stadium still needs to get a special use approval from the standpoint, a special use amendment for in association with the site plan. As I mentioned before, no site plan is being proposed or recommended at this time. The stadium still needs a site plan. As part of that site plan, they will still have to address the noise and light issues. They also, what is being proposed here, though, is that the netting for the indoor-outdoor golf facility could be approved by the Plan Commission whenever they submit for a site plan for that building. Also, they are asking, the applicant is asking, and the Plan Commission is recommending approval of an initial start for all that infrastructure work. So that is going to be, is proposed at this time to allow them to start infrastructure work, not building permits, but infrastructure work. Lastly, the applicant has requested and the Plan Commission is recommending approval of that three-month extension for the time frame for pulling the first building permit. So Plan Commission is recommending approval of all those changes. There were other changes that the applicant had asked for. Those are not on the table at this time. That would be the senior housing. A lot of other PDD changes. Those will have to be brought back as future PDD amendments. So staff was recommending approval and the Plan Commission as well of these changes.
So depending on how you all do your business, the correct the ordinance that was recommended by the Plan Commission starts on page 41 for those of you who want to do it that way. Alderman Mayer.
Mr. Mayor, there's an awful lot of weeds here. I would like to move to table this until we get some clarification on things. Most of these things that are called changes are really just clarifications of things that are already approved, but then there are some major changes as well. And it's, as you look through this, there's many red flags. And I understand we're not approving all of these things tonight if we approve this, but they are still related. And depending on how you read this, they're all connected. And if we're approving one thing, it almost leads that we're approving some of the other things.
Is there support for that?
I have a question.
Well, I'll second it so she can ask her question.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess I wanted to know from Mr. Deedle, is the one item only for the, what was it, the tennis court or the netting, is that the only one that would be just Plan Commission?
At what we're proposing here, that would be the only Plan Commission change. The applicant was asking for some others. They're not being proposed at this time. The other changes that there would be some Plan Commission approvals that would normally be Common Council and so on, those would be subject to another separate PDD amendment request. So at this point in time, that's the only thing that's being changed to a Plan Commission approval would be to allow the Plan Commission to approve the building the netting height. And I take that back. The Plan Commission can also approve. I take that back. This is a special use. So that's the only one at this point.
Okay. Because my concern is that without, you know, the people that want to have more input and more hearing and more notices, that if we take too many things away from that process, it cuts out one more meeting where they can be present to voice their concerns. And if they miss one, then they miss it completely. So I would not be in favor. So I'm assured that that's the only one item, and I'm okay with that one item. The mayor, you talked about the being item 41. What is
page
the,
41?
Page 41. What is the difference between that and the previous?
Well, the one in the front is the council action header.
One on 35.
The one on 32 is the council action header.
Page 35.
35 was the initial ordinance proposed to the Plan Commission that subsequently got modified and cut way down.
Okay.
So this is the old one not recommended by the Plan Commission.
All right, so we would be voting on, if we do take a vote, it would start on 41.
Yes.
And this is to allow for the permitted uses.
Correct.
So I just, you know, there seems to be, from what I heard from Citizen Comment Period, there seems to be a lot of concern about what we're doing and all the changes we're making. So I think it would be really important to try to make it as clear as we can to the audience. So I'm going to attempt to do that, and I'd like help from staff or you, Mayor, if I'm not being clear enough. for the residents.
Where I do that, I do it off of the off of page 32.
Well, I since the actual
I was
document,
gonna do it, so if you want to do it, I'm
the actual document.
This all gets to my point that it's all very, very confusing the way it's laid out here.
Well, I thought maybe we could try to less confuse it for all of us, and, mm-hmm. and it only help us for the next time we come that we're that much more prepared if we do table it.
I'm saying go for it, because okay. I was going to do it anyway, so yes.
Okay, so under Section 1 on page 44 of the suggested ordinance, the first thing it says is that we are going to amend this to allow for permitted uses. And but not limited to indoor-outdoor golf ranging greens. And then we're adding in general retail, sports, medicine, restaurants, and striking out indoor-outdoor entertainment uses, music and sporting events, adding in drinking establishments to allow additional uses as special uses. And that means we're going to allow these additional uses, but we're going to allow them as special uses, and that means they have to come before us again to get more approvals. So that means it's more limited in their approval process, not less limited. So those items are limited to, but not including, the striking out small engine and go-kart, including outdoor and indoor sports, non-motorized, entertainment and general commercial office. And then it goes on to revise certain district standards, including the building height, and striking out the building setbacks. And then it goes on to strike out to include additional more detailed site information pertaining to the proposed multifamily restaurant, or multifamily residential apartments. So I had a question on the striking of that section.
Which specific?
To include additional more detailed
what page
site.
What?
I'm on still on page 44, reading section 1, the strikeouts, where we're striking out to include additional more detailed site information pertaining to the proposed multifamily residential apartments.
Okay. This is a good time to go back for some context. Again, what's being struck out is mm-hmm. a request from the developer, not from the original PDD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So planning staff, myself, and the developer negotiated out all of this other stuff so that it was a manageable, reasonably manageable attempt at an ordinance. So that's what's not included in this ordinance that mm-hmm. was asked for.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the next section is number 1, and it says we're going to revise to include snowshoeing, indoor and outdoor soccer, indoor and outdoor volleyball, indoor and outdoor golf, indoor and outdoor baseball, general retail, and we're striking excluding eating and drinking establishments, and adding in slides, children's play areas, and then striking and to remove restaurant. Physical therapy is added, sports medicine added, medical office added, fitness studios, gyms, restaurants, and eating and drinking establishments are added.
Okay. In the original request, staff had recommended that restaurants be a special use. There was substantial discussion about, no, that's what we want. So
exactly.
So it's being struck from the staff recommendation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
right.
Be clear from it.
To me, right now, I'm fine with everything we're striking and adjusting. And I don't, to me, there aren't any big red flags for the citizens that I'm seeing. So I'm just
I don't think we'll find any, but okay.
Okay, so then we go on to number 2. Where we're revising to include.
Excuse me one second. Revising the proposal from the developer and staff recommendation.
Okay? Right.
Just so everybody's clear.
To include climbing walls, but taking out physical therapy, sports medicine, medical offices, fitness studios and gyms, restaurant eating and drinking establishments, and then adding the outdoor and indoor sports, non-motorized, not elsewhere classified, entertainment, outdoor and indoor music, general commercial office, electric vehicle racing, and to remove indoor sports complex. Okay. Then the next one is to revise the maximum building height to 3 stories or 45 feet. That is the one item that we might have some more disagreement with constituents who wanted to see lower, but it's always been our idea we get better use for the land if we can make just a little bit higher. The 3 stories doesn't seem to be overly aggressive, in my opinion. And then, the rest of the things I really didn't have a problem with. I wasn't going to go over them all. It talks about some pretty things that we do all the time, except for when you get down to 6, it has the allow the 3-month extension for the first building permit. So with the changes, I can understand the need to have the delay for the building permit, and they're not asking to build anything quite yet, which gives staff and the council more time to also look at things and residents more time to adjust their concerns, which I'm seeing that the one when the berm issue hasn't even been resolved yet.
That's
so
farther down.
Right, correct. So that's all I see in that particular ordinance that we're adopting, or considering adopting, which is right now on the Florida table.
Alderman Dandria?